Good morning. 6:24. Yeah, I said that right. 6:24. On 4:24. Actually, it's 6:27 to be more precise in terms of the time. On April the 24th. A little more than 18 minutes for the first mile. That's not too bad considering how much pain my feet, my whole body actually has at the moment. Left foot is the worst right at the moment. I'm sure that'll change as the day goes on, because it always does. There was some question as to whether or not the sudden shift from in my status of my arthritis was due to the change in the generic manufacturer. I take a generic indomethacin, which is one of the high-end anti-inflammatories, and I take the maximum daily dose. Or I have been the last week taking the maximum daily dose. And the side effect is a certain level of drowsiness, a certain level of dissociation, for lack of a better term. And it's been very difficult to manage the pain and maintain focus. And so, yeah, we've got a bit of a problem. But I had to get out today. One of the things that drew me out today was the sunrise. And I went up when I woke the kids at 6 and saw a beautiful sunrise and thought, I really want to be part of that. And I think that's sort of where I am mentally. I knew it was going to be painful, and it has been. I haven't walked in, since the 24th? I think that was the last day. No, today's the 24th. I haven't walked since 20th? I don't remember. It'll be in the records when I get back, and I'm just not in a mood to look right at the moment. But it's been several days, 3 or 4 anyway. And my hips are telling me, hey, I used to do this every day. What the hell happened? And, yeah. So, there's several things that happened. Not the least of which was a phone call from a friend yesterday who sort of made me face up to some of the things that I've been kind of avoiding thinking about. And so today when I got up and saw the light, I saw the sunrise. It was a beautiful sunrise. It was kind of red, which means we're probably going to have bad weather today. I think there's actually a chance of rain. It was snowing yesterday. It's quite cold here this morning, barely 30 degrees, and there is fresh snow around, although I have to say not terrible much. But yesterday I wrote almost 2,000 words, and most of them after the phone call. So, one of the things that's, I'm pretty sure now that the reality of the arthritis flare-up is much to do with a downward cycle in my depression. My therapist has been trying to walk me through this, trying to work me through this, trying to help me get over this little blip, and part of it, of course, is recognizing that there's a problem and acknowledging what the problem might be and coming up with some strategies to, if not alleviate, at least minimize the effect. Part of it is intellectualizing the issue. You can't reason depression away. That's one of the problems with it. It's not something that you can say, oh, well, yes, I know what's wrong. I'm depressed. I'm not going to be depressed anymore. It's not a choice. I can choose how I respond to the depression, but I can't choose to not be depressed. And while that seems to a certain extent fatalistic, I think it's actually quite empowering. I still have to do a lot of the things that I have been doing all along, being in the day, not beating myself up for not living up to my own expectations, celebrating successes, and I'm not going to say shrugging off disappointments so much as accepting that disappointments will happen, and that in spite of that, I need to move on. And so it's not a question of shrugging them off as much as taking the lesson and applying it the next iteration. And every day is a new opportunity to deal with it. So when the sun called to me this morning, I almost said, no, my feet hurt, my legs ache, I have a headache, I'm tired. I have a doctor's appointment in 2 hours to measure my eyes for the new lenses. I'm not going to take the time. The reality is I've been up since 4 a.m. Cats woke me. And of course, I'm at the problem intersection, and there's traffic. Cats woke me at 4 o'clock, and I spent 2 hours reading, catching up with my feed reader, reading various things, looking at the politics, looking at the state of Google Plus. David Goffin has a new post, well, it's actually a couple days old now, about Argo Navis. That is a new agent-only services bureau for, quote, self-published, unquote, authors. And it's made quite a splash for itself because David Mamet's new book will be published through Argo Navis, which is, they only accept submissions from agents, and they're holding themselves up as some sort of curated premium distribution. And here's my problem, is that they're still promoting the bookstore shelf as an important market force. And while it's true that many books are still sold from the bookstore shelf, the reality is that the proportion of those books is shrinking and has been shrinking for some time. Tying your rights up for some extended period of time, a market share that's shrinking, doesn't exactly strike me as premium distribution. And the reality is that Argo Navis is not able to provide any more access to these channels than the big publishers were. All they can do is ask the bookstores to buy the books. And the bookstores are not going to buy the books. They historically have not bought a lot of new authors, have not paid attention to a lot of new voices. It's one of the reasons that the independent movement has really taken root, because so many readers are tired of reading the same book in a different cover with different characters. doing the same things that were popular last month or even last year. So anyway, he did a nice post on it. Took down Ars Navis, Argo Navis, for overselling and underperforming. I thought it was very well done. More news. Walk the Fire 2, which is a new anthology. Some of you will remember that last fall, I did a story for John Miro's Walk the Fire universe. He did a promotional anthology, and he's coming out with edition 2. It's starting up now, a Kickstarter campaign for publication in the fall, and the Kickstarter campaign will allow him to pay authors. He's got a great lineup. I think I saw Paul Cooley's name in there. I know I saw Merle Lafferty's name in there. There's some very cool authors who are lined up to do this. And so if you enjoyed Walk the Fire 1, if you enjoyed the work that I did and that the other authors in Walk the Fire 1 did, then you might want to run over, because I think you can get a good deal on the awards that Walk the Fire will provide. And if Monkpole, there's a strange name. There's a guy who is not John Moreau attached to it, and that's because Kickstarter isn't available to non-U.S. citizens. And since John is Canadian, he did his first Kickstarter, his first crowdfunding from Indiegogo, that is available in Canada. But I think he's asked his friend to be the editor of this, to be the front man for Kickstarter, in order to be able to have the wider appeal that Kickstarter has in the U.S. So, yeah, surfingworlds.com, go check out John Moreau's stuff. If you liked Walk the Fire 1, it's a good opportunity to hear, to get a hold of some shorter works from people that you may or may not have heard of, and to get a different take on the Walk the Fire universe. I have to say that doing the story that I did last year, and while it was very distracting and quite aggravating, and it was still quite enjoyable. It was one of the few stories that I've ever had to do research for, because it was historical. And I tried to make it as correct to the period as I could, given that it was like a very short piece of fiction. But this idea that Walk the Fire and the ferrymen who are able to walk the fire at will and guide people from one place and time to another, these people are, for all intents and purposes, immortal. Because each time they walk the fire, they're returned to the condition they were in when they first stepped through the flames. Which is an interesting idea. And I particularly liked it from the idea of maybe that was the actual genesis of the notion of the Fountain of Youth. So Ponce de Leon was actually not looking for a fountain of water as much as a fountain of fire. So it was fun. It was fun to do. It was interesting to get into this guy's head a little bit. Oh, this hurts. Jesus. I'm trying to keep a pace going. I'm not sure quite how effective I'm being at it. But it is, in spite of the fact that it's cold and I am significantly bundled up. I'm bundled up like it was 10 degrees and not 30 degrees, but I figured it would be easier if I was warm to take off a layer than it would be to come out here and freeze my butt. Let's see, what else did I see? Walk the Fire. David Goffin. I think that's about all. I read Peter Smalley's Emerald City Blues. It's a short work. It's a novella, a long novella maybe. It's not a novel. It's not a full book. And for that, I was disappointed on a number of fronts. It is a great setup. I really liked the way he was working his world. The problem, the basic setup is that it's sort of a pulpy noir detective story, but instead of being set in the 50s, it's set in the 30s. Or I think more precisely 1931. So Prohibition is active and all of that, but there's magic, and so the main character has magic, which doesn't really show up until the very end of the book, in spite of the fact that the whole book talks about the fact that she's an apprentice mage, and I had trouble with it. I've offered Peter some feedback, offered in the perspective of, you know, this didn't work for me because, and feel free to take into consideration that I'm a complete and utter bullshit artist. This is your story. If you're comfortable with it, I'm not the one you should listen to. So that was cool. That was interesting. I'm reading a new one now. I'm trying to figure out. I can't remember the name of it because I only just started it. And to be honest, I'm much more focused on the Greedock story. One of the things that has happened in the last few days, even, is that the distractors that I'm prone to fall back on, EVE Online, Minecraft, Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, the non-productive portions of my day, the non-writing portions of my day, have become, to a certain extent, somewhat boring and repetitious. There's only so much cobble you can mine. There's only so many diamonds you can collect. There's only so much ore and so many asteroids you can mine. There's only so many belt rats to attack before it becomes somewhat tedious and repetitious. And the nature of the game is, Minecraft is easily mastered. It's a small game, and the challenge is to find new things to do after you have mastered the first few bits. EVE Online, on the other hand, is a very complex game, and the challenge is finding new things to do after you've learned the easy skills and while you are in the process of training up the more complex skills that let you do more interesting things. And so there's a line there. And basically what I've done is that I've taken my various characters on EVE Online and given them very long training times. And there's actually a strategic reason for that. There's a rules change coming in June, and what I'm doing is positioning myself, my various characters, or at least the ones that it's significant to, because not all of them care, but positioning the characters so that when the rules change comes in, the characters of interest will inherit the benefits and will have minimized the downsides of that rules change. The the difficulty is that for most of them, the main obstacle is a four-week training cycle. So you put the skill into train, and it will finish in 4 weeks. It's 4 weeks real time. So whether I play or not, they're training. And whether I log in or not, they're training. I don't have to do anything. Uh, 20 minutes on the second mile. Given the amount of difficulty I'm having in just walking, that's not too bad. So anyway, yeah, the distractions are kind of boring. The story, I've just gone over, last night I stayed up until I got 1,000 words. I did one session that was 1,000 words long. I had about 650, just under 650 words going into that. So almost 1,700 words yesterday, which is the longest day of writing that I've done in a while. And the story, it's warming up. The story is becoming more interesting to me than the distractors that are keeping me from writing are. The downside, of course, is it's today's morning is going to be shot by doctor's appointments, and my guess is that I'm going to be left somewhat drained, somewhat less than peak efficiency. So perhaps what I will do is come home, take a nap, and then work this afternoon for a couple of hours. But the reality is, the story is beginning to ignite for me, and that's only good news. So anyway, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is, and quite literally today, because I am using the back gate today. I got underway so early I didn't want to open the garage. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.